Hey, what's up, everybody? I am the Dharma guy. He is the Dope Doctor. And together, we are Dope and Dharma. And this is the Dharma Time Hour. And as you can see, he is living it up. He's doing the traditional, stereotypical Florida lifestyle right now. Got his sunglasses on. Got the beach in the background. It's got the blue skies. Meanwhile, I am here in my daughter's room still. I am not outside enjoying the Florida weather. Matter of fact, I hate the Florida weather because it's too hot. So, anyways, you want to say a few... First of all, let me apologize to everybody. He is outside, and so the wind is a bit much. So, I apologize ahead of time if the wind is unbearable for some of you. He's going to try to mute in between talking. But if you hear it, that's what it is. So, anyways, you want to say what's up there? Cool hand, Luke.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Trinity, thank you very much for making accommodations today. I'm over here in Miami on the rooftop of a hotel.
And what hotel is this?
This is the Courtyard Marriott. This is nice. My home hotel when I come out here.
Nice.
I love it.
Right on. I do miss Miami Washington. At times. I do miss Miami. I love me some Miami. I'm not going to lie. I need to go
There's
back down there.
A lot to miss, man.
Yeah, it's been
expensive as hell, though.
Yes, it's very expensive. It's been probably 10 years since I've been down there, but I need to make my way back down there one of these days. Anyways, let's go ahead and go jump in the show because you obviously have you're living your best life down there, and I've got work I got to get done. So let's go ahead and start the show. First and foremost, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we do have a golf tournament coming up on Monday. I sadly will not be able to attend. This will be the first one I won't be at, but I'm sure that it'll go off probably even better because I won't be there messing things up. But it's on April 11th at the Red Tail, I think it's called, up in Sorrento. So for all of those of you who are going to be there, good luck. It'll be a good time. I'm sure it is. It always is. And, I'll miss everybody there. So, anyways, so let's start talking. So there's been some things that have happened in the last, couple weeks that, I think we should talk about, right? So first and foremost, today's subject, if we have to title it, I'm gonna call it Right Speech, right? Right Speech is part of the Eightfold Path in spirituality, more specifically in Buddhism. And very quickly, it's summed up normally as, the speech that we put out there, however we communicate via, whatever the communication is, text, verbal, whatever, it should be both, keyword there is both, truthful and useful. Meaning, when we speak, is it taking into account the truthfulness of the situation? And that's both my truth and your truth, right? It's 360. But also, is it useful, right? Like, Is it productive? Is it loving? Is it kind? Is it coming from a useful perspective? Or are you just saying the truth just to be hurtful, right? So, the reason why I want to talk about right speech, there are two specific stories at the moment that are out there in the world that, have captured the nation's imagination. The first and foremost is the Chris Rock and the Will Smith incident. For those of you who have been living under a rock, ba-dooms, thank you very much. So Chris Rock and them were at the Academy Awards. Chris Rock got up to do like a presentation, and in the middle of it, he was doing his little jokes, which is what he does as a comedian. He made a comment about Jada Pinkett Smith, who has a bald head, apparently due to alopecia. He just made a comment about how he's looking forward to G.I. Jane 2, and that was it. And then Will Smith apparently took exception to that, got up, went on stage, smacked him, came back, sat down. And then after that, it was just this massive national debate as to if Chris Rock was wrong, if Will Smith was wrong, what should have happened, or whatever. The second one, I want to say just happened yesterday. I became aware of it yesterday. I don't know when it actually took place. But Elon Musk, our national treasure, if you will, like the I don't even know if he's national. I think he's not even from here, but he is the billionaire who makes waves. He's responsible, obviously, for Tesla and numerous other technological advances. Most recently, he went up to space. He does SpaceX. Anyways, came out yesterday that there's been a long-standing feud on Twitter with Elon. He's always put tweets out there to ruffle some feathers. He's made some comments, taken some polls. Well, apparently, as of yesterday, he is now the largest stakeholder in Twitter. He owns roughly 9%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. He's got enough now to where he can actually start dictating certain things that Twitter does and doesn't do. That's how much he owns of it. And the reason why that's a big deal is because there's been this massive dialogue, if you will, right now, where there's a large portion of the country who feels as if Twitter is not allowing freedom of speech. I think the most notable person that they got rid of, obviously, was our ex-president, Donald Trump. But they kind of, the idea is that if you have a more conservative slant to your perspective, they start to limit your ability to put things out. And if you're more liberal, they let it go. I don't know the data behind that. I don't know how true it is. I know anecdotally speaking, most of the people that I know that have a conservative mindset have been, to some extent or another, silent or censored a little bit. Once again, that's anecdotal. I haven't really looked at the data on that. Either way, Elon Musk has come out before and not like that. He's obviously responsible for saying some things that have ruffled feathers in the past. So it's, you know, it's interesting and potentially big news that he has now become majority owner in there, and he can start dictating, hey, maybe we need to readdress our fight for free speech. So the reason why I want to talk about free speech, the way I'm going to frame it today, is both on the giving and the receiving of free speech, right? So from the Elon Musk perspective, I'm going to be talking about giving the free speech. In other words, what's allowed, what isn't allowed, things of that nature. And then for the Chris Rock and the Will Smith situation, I think the conversation really revolves around in receiving said speech, if you will. So, you have any immediate thoughts before we get rolling into this, Dope Doctor, and your wonderful best life here?
Just to be clear, I am working out here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can tell.
Work look good.
That's yeah, all. Sure.
But no. I like where you're going with it. No, I'll chime in. In a sec, let's roll with it.
Right on. And once again, everybody, he is not only living his best life right now, but he's muting it because the wind is atrocious out there where he's at. So for me, I think my stance on the Will Smith, if you guys tune into the Couch Live, when we do it on Monday nights here locally, gave a lot of my opinion on that one, so I won't go into all of the details, but I will say that I feel that Chris Rock was kind of doing his job as a comedian and making jokes. It's an understood that you're going to sit there, especially in the front row. You're going to potentially hear some things that you're not exactly excited about. That's part of the deal. It's part of the contract that you sign. If you're not interested, then either don't go or sit further back. Or one could argue, don't be in the limelight. Where I think the mess up was, where I've never understood, and where people are trying to come to the defense of Will Smith, is I don't think it's ever okay to put your hands on somebody because you didn't like what they said. If it was a joke or whatever it is, you can be upset about it. You can not like it. But I don't think you have the right to then physically put your hands on another person. I teach my children that. There's laws in place to dictate that. And so I think we have to respect that. It has to be consistent. Having said that, this is where right speech comes into play, right? So we're going to talk about the receiving of right speech. You know, we have to understand that not everybody's going to be in a place in their lives where they're ready to use compassionate and loving speech. You know, maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they're still bitter. Maybe they're still angry. Maybe they're still hurt. Maybe they're just having a bad day, a bad moment, you know, and they're allowed to have that, as are we. And so while sometimes people might say things that are offensive to you or upsetting to you, you don't always have to pick it up. And I think that is something we really got to focus on as a country. You know, on a national level, maybe not, but on a more personal level, I think we're all guilty of being baited into a conversation that we didn't want to be into, or baited into an argument because somebody said something we couldn't just let it go. And we also have this weird concept to where you're somehow less than if you don't stand up to somebody saying something to you. And I'm kind of guilty of that when I was younger, probably still so a little bit now. But I've tried to overcome it. I don't think my manhood is measured based upon my ability to listen to somebody say something that I don't agree with, right? In other words, where I'm at now in my life, if somebody were to come up and call me, you know, bad names or whatever, I don't feel the need to fight or anything. I'm just like, whatever. I mean, where I'm at now, right? 18, 19, 20 years old, I probably would have said something back and we'd end up fighting or whatever. But where I'm at now, between either, you know, my age or my spiritual journey, I just don't have the need anymore. Like, it doesn't affect me. My value isn't based upon your opinion of me. And so because you have something to say, I'm skillful enough at this point in my life for most people. There's still areas in which I struggle. But for the most part, I'm pretty skillful to where if somebody's saying something, whether I like it or not, I could typically just be like, okay. You know, and that is my okay practice, by the way. It's just, okay, that's how you feel. That doesn't mean I'm signing off on it. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Just, okay, like you've expressed to me your thoughts, regardless if I agree or not. Okay, I'm aware now if that's what your thoughts are. I don't have the need anymore to retaliate. So if I was in that, because I told my wife the other day when this stuff happened, I said, look, if you and I go to a comedy show and the comedian is up on stage and he picks on one of us and he cracks on something to do with you, I'm going to laugh because that's what we're there for. Like, I'm not going to get up and slap him or something. You know, now if we're like Applebee's and some dude comes up and tries to grab you, we're going to have a problem. But at a comedy show in context, I'm going to probably laugh at the joke. And you know what? My wife would probably laugh too because she's got a good sense of humor. So to me, I think the takeaway from that I'm trying to raise my kids with and that I'm trying to live my own life and I recommend everybody else to is when it comes to speech, when it comes to we should practice right speech, but that's not just, you know, when we give it. That's how when we take it as well. So when somebody says something to you, you don't have to rise to every challenge. You don't have to meet every single thing that you don't like verbally with an attack. Sometimes you can just simply say, okay. And it's okay to walk away. It doesn't mean you're less of a person. It doesn't mean you're a wimp. It doesn't mean that you're a loser or whatever. It just means, to me personally, I think it takes more strength and more courage to listen to those things and not respond to them. Like, I'm always much more, like with Chris Rock, between those two, I give Chris Rock, like, much kudos, man. The way he handled that was so professional and so dead on what I would expect people to do, because it was a slap. He took it like a champ. You know, he didn't, you know, oh my God. No, he took it. Like, okay, you hit me, now what? And then he continued on with the show. The show must go on. I'm going to do my part. And I think that he handled it the best way he could, and there's something to be said for that. But I've been talking a lot. I know you're windy, but go for it, man.
I think insecurity has a lot to do with this.
Absolutely.
You know, I think when I was a more insecure person, words were everything. It did not take someone to do something physical towards me for me to react.
Right.
All they had to do was hit certain trigger words that I was insecure about, and if they would hit those, I would go off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not feel intelligent. I did not feel worthy. I did not feel valuable. There's so many things that I did not feel. So when those words were used, I didn't know how to respond. And so that's how I kind of look at the battle of words or physical or how to react to things like what security are in person. Security, we need to get to a place where we disarm others. And the best way to disarm others is to be a very secure individual or work on your security, work on the fact that your context is your context. You know, we always apply context that may or may not be true, right? Someone says something and then you add a story of why they did it or what their motive was. For instance, I'm going to give you a good one. So road rage, right? I used to have horrible road rage. And I'm not saying I'm completely cured of that yet, but it's definitely nowhere near where it was. And the reason was is the dialogue that I would put in my head was, you tried to kill me. You know, for some reason, that's what I would think. And if my wife was in the car or my kids were in the car, now I really felt like you tried to kill, right, not only me, but try to kill them. And then it would make me upset. And then if Dana would say anything about, hey, relax or slow down, now I got mad that we're arguing.
Yeah.
That guy got us in an argument. Now I hate that person even more.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those cycles that the more you work on yourself, it resolves a lot of different issues in your life, whether it be in your family, whether it be interpersonal, or like in this case, it allows you to go out in public and enjoy things for what they are instead of what you make them to be.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody's adding context. This was about alopecia, but nowhere was that mentioned.
Yeah, right? No, he never said anything about that.
Chris Rock didn't mention it. Will Smith didn't mention it. So the whole world has added context to what happened. Yet none of us truly know the context.
Yeah, yeah, it was never mentioned.
Have our assumptions based on what we witnessed.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think you touched on something else there too before we move on to the giving of the right speech. You touched on something else that I think bears you know, a little bit of investigation, I guess. It's not just the context, but it's also the person, right? The relationship with that person. And what I mean by that, like I mentioned earlier, that I still struggle at times not responding to verbal things or whatever. Let me be very clear. There's really only one person in my life that I still struggle with that with, and that's my wife. You know, anybody else out there in the world can probably say pretty much anything to me, and I'm not going to care. You know, some stranger in the streets could call me anything, could say anything, and just like, whatever, dude, like, let's go. Like, it wouldn't bother me, and I probably wouldn't even give it a second thought. However, there is one person in my life, and that's my wife, that she can hurt me probably more than anybody else on this planet. And in that realm, yeah, I'm still unskillful sometimes. There's sometimes where she'll say something, maybe we're in a heated argument or whatever, or maybe we're not. Maybe I just misinterpreted what she said, but I am still insecure in those situations, right? Because that's the person who I want to love me, and I love them back, and, you know, it's very important to that. And we haven't reached that point yet where we've been together forever, and that's just not an issue. Maybe we will one day. Maybe we never will. I don't know. She's always going to have the ability to cut through my defenses, if you will, whether intentional or not. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that we all have certain individuals that were like, yeah, I could take whatever. I'm really good at that. But if this person does it, and I think that that's an us thing, right? Like, we're going to have to work on that. As we're always saying on this show, you make your button smaller. Well, we have different size buttons for different people in our lives. My button is like, you can barely see my button when it comes to strangers. Like, I don't really care at all. There's very few things they could do that's going to rile me up. However, that button gets bigger when you start dealing with certain family members or certain people in my life. That button starts to get a little bit bigger because I'm a little bit more emotionally connected to those people. And that's not a bad thing, but that's a me thing. Like, that's something that I have to be aware that I might very well misinterpret things, or I might take things to a level it doesn't need to get, or they might have more of an impact than which they were intended. So maybe something is said to me that wasn't intended, and I could very easily match that. And so I think that's an us thing. I think that while there is a certain amount of responsibility in what comes out of your mouth, there's also a certain amount of responsibility in how you internalize things and how you interpret it. And we're going to get to the talking in a minute, but I just want to make sure we put that out there, because whoever's listening to this might be thinking to themselves, you know, I'm pretty good at that. But if you stop, you might think deeper and realize that you are pretty good at that for most people. But there's probably one or two people in your life that you're not that good at it. Like, there's been many times in my lifetime with my wife that things have been said that I absolutely decided to go ahead and join in. And I thought about afterwards, like, oh, man, why did I do that? Like, I got baited into something, whether it was on purpose or not. I got brought into something, right? And so I think that it's a skill that we have to continue to develop. And and you won't develop that skill if you don't first set the intention of, hey, I want to get better at this. You got to first set the intention of, hey, I want to get better at my interpretation and my responses to things. I want to get better at not internalizing it. I want to get better at not adding narrative to it. I want to get better at not being reactive to these types of things. And if you set your intention to that, then you'll notice that when those things start to occur, it'll get easier and easier and easier until eventually you'll get to the point where it's just an instinctive kind of a thing. So moving on to the other side of things, right? The right speech as far as what we say. So I am a firm believer to an extent of sticks and stones, right? Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. We've all heard it, you know, or anyway, anybody over 30, I guess, has probably heard that at some point. And to a larger extent, I think that's true. However, we have to realize, as I said earlier, there's certain individuals that have the ability to kind of cut through my defenses. You might be that person for somebody else. You might be that person that has the ability to cut through their defenses, or you might be that person that has a lot more weight than you're aware of when you talk to somebody. And so that's why it's really important that you make sure when you do speak, it's truthful and useful. Because you don't know the plight of the other person. And typically when you're saying something aggressive or mean or nasty or whatever it might be, you got to check your intentions. Like, what was your intention when you said that? Were you coming from a place of love and kindness and compassion for your fellow human? Or were you coming from a place of anger, of spite, of you know, whatever? Like, are you trying to hurt that person? Are you trying to take away their power? Are you trying to make yourself feel better? Like, what was your intent? And I think you'll notice that when it's not truthful and useful, you'll notice if you look deep down inside, your intent was coming from a negative place. And once again, that's a you thing. Because you don't know the kind of level of influence you have on that person. You don't know what how they've given you, you know, the ability to hurt them or not. And so it is a certain amount of responsibility, right? We're not responsible for how other people feel in a way, but in another way, we kind of are, right? So if we know their hot button, and if that person is not skillful enough, right? Like at the end of the day, like I'll use my wife as an example. You know, my wife has the ability to say things to hurt me because she's my wife, we're together, and her opinion matters to me. Now, if I reached enlightenment, if I reached that point of attainment in my life that I want to, then there's nothing that she could say to me that would ever bother me because I would always know where it's coming from. I would know that she's coming from a place of pain or whatever it is, and I would immediately look at the root of that and try to be there to help her and respond out of love and compassion. I got bad news for you, though. Me and most people watching this, we're not at that level of attainment. We haven't reached that level of skillfulness yet in our lives where we're impervious to those types of things. So until we do, we have to be mindful of how we speak to other people and realize that it might not be taken the way we want it to. Hopefully I'm going to you now, Dope Doctor, in between gusts of wind. So what are your thoughts? Uh-oh, did I lose him?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, we do know that we have certain instances, certain people's lives. Just we have allowed them to have position in our lives, a certain weight and value in our lives. They've granted us a certain value in their life. And unfortunately, when I'm not doing well, I utilize that just to be able to bother them when I want to, because we're not allowed to get physical, right? So as we get older,
well, I guess if you're Will Smith, you are.
Words a lot more, or position. What was that?
So I guess if you're Will Smith, you're allowed to get physical.
What was that?
No worries. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, but I've done it. Like I've done it with my brother. I've done it with Dana. I've done it with the kids. Where I know that where I'm going with what I'm saying or how I'm saying it, it's bothering them a hell of a lot more than anything else I can do. Unfortunately, it's hard to get out of it when you're doing it, right?
Yes.
When it's working, it's really hard to pull back from that. So I think that's just, that's just a growth thing that we should all work on. But by recognizing it, hopefully as time moves on, we just continue to get.
Oh. I think we lost you. You muted yourself. I couldn't agree more, man. You know, like I said, man, I think we're all, in theory, we're all trying to get to that level where we're these like awesome, you know, fully adjusted, healthy, you know, almost like a monk type individual where anything you say to us, you know, we're immediately skillful enough to be like, oh, I hear you, and I understand that you're coming from a place of pain, and let's get into that. I'm sorry, what have I... But we're not there, you know? Like, most of us haven't reached that level yet. I know I haven't. I think in some instances I have, but there are other instances where I still got to grow. I'm not there yet. I'm still volatile at times. I'm still an emotional person. I'm still reactive in certain situations, whether I want to or not. You know, I'm trying to reach that level, but I'm not there yet, if I'm honest. And so I think that that is where the responsibility falls on our shoulders, as the loved ones, or even as friends, to monitor what it is that comes out of our mouth and monitor what our intentions are when we say these things. Like, we know, you know, things are hurtful and mean or bad. Some of them are universal, you know. And so for us to, like, maybe nitpick on somebody's insecurities or push those little buttons, we have to understand where that's coming from and how that's going to have a reaction. And when that reaction happens, we can't be surprised then that they reacted in a negative way or in an aggressive way or whatever it is. There is a, you know, one of the things that we talk about in the spiritual world, right, was, you know, I can't do anything to deal with your suffering, right? Like, I can't take your suffering away from you, and I can't deal with it for you. So that's a journey you're on. You know, that's your own journey, your own path that you have to eventually come to terms with how you interact with your suffering. My job isn't to remove it for you. My job is to not add to it. In other words, it's my job as a fellow human being to not be the reason you're suffering. It's my job to make sure that I don't go out of my way with my intentions to cause you more suffering, give you a reason to be upset, angry, whatever it might be. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I won't inadvertently do something. But there's a big difference between inadvertently in insulting somebody versus inadvertently doing it. You know, if I said something that so happened to remind you of a tone or a previous, you know, engagement, whatever it might be, and you took that and interpreted it in a way that hurt you, you know, I'm sorry that that happened. And if you bring it to my attention, you know, I'm going to apologize for that. And I'll do my, and here's where the skill comes in. I will do my best moving forward to avoid that. If I know it's a hot button for you, it's your job to reduce the size of your button, but it's my job to do my best to not intentionally hit your button. And so I think that's where the right speech comes into play. I think the right speech, it's so underestimated on how important it really is. We don't realize sometimes that, you know, the words that we say to somebody really affects them. And if we're honest, the words that we receive really affects us as well. Oh, he's coming back. No, he's not. Oh, well, we lost Louis. He's once again living his best life up there on some rooftop in Miami and living it up. Working. And I'm going to wrap this up here a little bit because I got to go train a client because I'm still trying to help people in that way. But I guess I'm going to wrap it up on this. You know, right speech is extremely important. Right speech isn't just what comes out of our mouth. It's our text messages. It's any communication that we have. If you still write letters, if you leave a post on somebody, if you tweet, no matter what it is, right speech is important. And right speech is defined as something that's truthful and useful. So, you know, for instance, I'm going to go train somebody. If I'm doing a burpee with somebody, and let's say that it's the worst burpee I've ever seen in my entire planet, or we're doing weight training and I have the worst form I've ever seen ever, it might be truthful from my perspective, but is it useful for me to tell that person that? Is it coming from a place of love? Is it coming from a place of kindness? Is it meant to uplift this person? Is it meant to encourage them? Is it meant to help them? Or is it meant to tear them down? Is it meant to make me feel better by judging somebody else's stance or technique or whatever it might be? And so that's what I mean by truthful and useful. So when you speak, it has to be truthful and useful. And I think that if you keep that in mind when you're interacting with people throughout the world, I think you'll notice that you get a lot better responses from people and you'll be viewed a lot differently and you'll reduce the overall stress and drama in your life. So moral of the story today, guys, is truthful and useful. I think that's all I got. It's going to shorten with today. He's in Miami doing his thing, but we didn't want to go a whole week without talking to everybody. So that's all we got. So now that you know better, do better. Peace. Are you still here? What are you doing? I told you, go do better.